Amen. Thank you, Larry. Praise the Lord. It is a miracle too, isn't it? Salvation. What a blessing. And that'll make you want to rejoice. That's what we're doing tonight. We're rejoicing. And this announcement, though, real quick, turn to Deuteronomy 16. And while you're turning there, we need all the young ladies who want to sing at the mother-daughter banquet. I believe that's elementary, sixth grade down, I think. Anyone wanting to sing at the mother-daughter banquet, get the music tonight from Mrs. Hollins or Mrs. Rogers. And there is a song you're going to sing at the mother-daughter banquet. So make sure you get that music, and that will be good. And we'll let you know when you'll be practicing that. That'll be a blessing. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 16. And let's just go to verse 10. We read this passage this morning. This is one of those messages that started off as a Sunday morning message. And as I was working on it, I knew that wasn't going to work because I knew it'd be too much and it would be too long. So now we're going into Sunday night, and we'll see what happens. But just a lot of things to talk about. In Deuteronomy 16, of course, we have the three great feasts that the Old Testament talks about, the Feast of the Passover, Pentecost, and which is also called the Feast of Weeks, and then also the Feast of Tabernacles. And you hear about those, you read them. Some of the difficult reading, I guess, that we run across deals with some of these feasts and some of the things involved. But again, these were God's will. This was God telling his people, I want you to have these feasts because it will help you in your relationship with me. Each feast had the same emphasis, the emphasis of really three things: remember, respond, and rejoice. Remember some event, something that took place, or many things that God had done. They were to remember those things. The feast was to commemorate those things, and then respond, often by giving in some type of an offering or some type of gift, but giving, and then, of course, rejoicing. Remember, respond, and rejoice. And I'm keying on that thing that we would think of the most with a feast, and that is to rejoice. It's a time of rejoicing, a time to praise the Lord. And the verse I want to read is from the middle the passage, verse 10, thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks, again, was the Feast of Pentecost. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God. And here's the words, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Has God blessed you tonight? I mean, has God done anything at all for you? Every now and then, I'll talk to somebody and they'll be down and discouraged. And has God done anything? Has he ever done anything for you? Well, yeah, I mean, he has. Well, think about that. Remember what he did. Remember how great God has, many great things God has done for you, and respond to that by rejoicing. Remember, respond, and rejoice. And again, that verse just really sticks with me, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. I mean, I look around here and I see a lot of folks have been blessed. In fact, we all have. Everybody in here has. You know, we have our men's prayer time, and right above us are the little children, I believe, first through third grade, and they're practicing and they're singing, and I think, wow, what a blessing it is to hear those children singing about the Lord. And they're excited about God. And to know that all morning in all our Sunday school classes, junior churches, they were singing about the Lord and praising the Lord. And to watch buses going in and out. And to know that 90-some shepherds were over in the school gym. And what a blessing that is. And folks that are blessed. And so many things God has done for us. And I thought about that. You know, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. And everybody, son, daughter, manservant, maidservant, Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, everybody among us, we are to rejoice before the Lord thy God. And so I had thought about, while Brother Nixon was preaching last Sunday morning, I mentioned this morning, he preached a message on I'm miserable. And so I decided I'm going to preach on I'm rejoicing. And because I am rejoicing, I'm just so excited about the things of God, and I am rejoicing. And this morning, we talked about several things, and we talked about I'm rejoicing because I have a perfect salvation. By the way, if you're saved tonight, you can rejoice too. I mean, if you're really saved, you have a perfect salvation. I'm rejoicing tonight because I have a permanent salvation. Aren't you glad you can't lose it? Because if you could lose it, you've lost it. Amen. I mean, it adds verse after verse after verse to the song. You must be born again and 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 anyway, you get it? If you could lose it. You'd have to, because you sin. We just keep sinning. But thank God we have a perfect salvation, a permanent salvation. Thank God we've received a pardon. Amen. We're not guilty. We're not going to be guilty. If you're saved tonight, your sins are blotted out, the Bible says. And so we have a pardon. Thank God. I'm rejoicing tonight because of God's promises. His word is his promise to me. And he's given me so many precious, wonderful promises. And I'm rejoicing tonight because of the position that I have as a son of God, as a servant of God, and as pastor, of course, as a shepherd of God. I'm rejoicing tonight. I'm rejoicing tonight because of the portion that he's given me, and that we are heirs, joint heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and the portion that we can't even imagine what that is. We can't, I mean, tonight, none of us could even in our wildest imagination understand what that means to be an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine that. We ought to rejoice about that. It is better than what you could possibly think that it would be. I'm rejoicing tonight because of his presence. And we ended with this morning, talking about God's presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, tonight you say, I'm miserable. Okay, get in his presence. Get close to him. Walk with him. Let him take your hand in his, and let him give you that comfort that only he can give. Let him be the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the comforter, the one who runs alongside you, and let his presence bring joy to your life. I'm just saying tonight, as Christians, we ought to be rejoicing. Everybody ought to be rejoicing tonight. It shouldn't just be the preacher. It shouldn't just be somebody who just got an answer to prayer. It shouldn't be just somebody that, you've got a lot of money. It shouldn't be somebody that just went to the doctor and the doctor said, you're looking good. I mean, it should be all of us tonight, no matter where we are, no matter if you're in a valley tonight or up on a mountaintop tonight, we all ought to be able to rejoice. That's what the feast was all about. Too bad God had to tell him to do it. It's too bad he had to tell us to do it too. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore. We're commanded, told we need to do it. The Lord's Supper, we had it last week. This do in remembrance. I want you to remember me. Remember me. So what? So we can rejoice. Rejoice. Father, please bless tonight. Help us to continue rejoicing. I pray that we'll all rejoice, that we'll in our hearts tonight, we'll be rejoicing through this time that we have left in our service. And then as we walk out the doors, we'll be rejoicing. I pray, God, that we'll be rejoicing tomorrow. And as we go out into this world, that the world will see that we're folks that are rejoicing. They'll see that we're different. We're peculiar people because we're rejoicing. And God, I pray that you'll help us to keep rejoicing. And if we get bad news, we rejoice. If we get good news, we rejoice. But God, help us to rejoice in the things that you've done and how wonderful you are. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 8, I'm rejoicing tonight because of his protection. His protection. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 27. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. You don't have to worry about your enemies. You don't have to, God has made us to rejoice over, okay, who's our main enemy? Satan. Okay, read the end of the book. What happens to Satan? He's cast in the lake of fire. I mean, honestly, we are the ones that should be rejoicing today. Oh, I know, he gives you a hard time. I understand. He's a pain, and he's a liar, and he's messing with people. And so many right here in this room, the devil is after you, and he's like a roaring lion. He's after you. He's trying to destroy you. And some of you, I'll be honest, you got a little lion slobber on you. That's all right. You know what? We have a protector. Praise God, I'm rejoicing tonight because Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. By the way, I'm always helped. He's always been faithful to help me. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Hey, can you praise him tonight because he's your protection? I mean, are you trembling because of all the things that we're hearing about? Are you trembling because, the election's coming. We could be in trouble. They're after Christians. They're persecuting Christians. And, hey, listen, the Lord's my strength. I'm rejoicing tonight because of his protection. I'm rejoicing because Psalm 5 verse 11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Everybody. You know, it's someone who's not trusting the Lord. You've got your trust in those steel bars in your windows. Now, I'm not against that. I'm just saying, trust in that. Trust in your security system. Oh, we got this new security system, you know. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, it'll go off when somebody breaks in. You know, I've often thought about that, and I'm not trying to bother you or anything like that, but if the siren sounds, they still can shoot you. Right? Well, the police will come. Well, yeah, but they have to hear it, and then they have to come. I'm not trying to make you scared. I'm just saying, trust him. Trust him. You know, we have smoke detectors and all that, and every now and then they can be annoying. Right? How many of you have ever had a smoke? You've got several smoke detectors, and all of a sudden you hear beep. It's always midnight. Always. Ours is, it's never during the day. Never at a convenient time. It's always midnight. Beep. Beep. And then you start looking. You start walking everywhere. Beep. And they're up high. You know, by the time you get up there, it's stopped, you know. And you have to wait. And beep, and it's not that one. And then you have to go over in another room. And you're looking everywhere for that thing. I mean, let's be honest, though. Praise God for the smoke detector. And hopefully it'll wake you up, right? But we have something far better. We have God. We have a God that can put out the fire. Amen? I mean, we have a God. And I'm not saying to get rid of those things. I'm just saying, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. See, I'm after some shouting for joy, to be honest with you. I, you know, because, why? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, he defends us. He's my defender. He's watching over me all the time. He's watching over me. I thank God for Derek and Norm and the police force. And I like it when they, you know, we see their cars going through the alley. And sometimes they'll come through here shining their lights and everything. And I like all that. But the truth of the matter is, they can't always be here. They can't always be in our parking lot. They can't always be going down that alley. They can't always be searching all that area. But there's one who always is. He's always watching over me. And praise God, his protection. I'm rejoicing tonight. Hey, how do you rejoice so much, preacher? I'm telling you, because I remember what God's done. He's protected me many, many times. I've told you about the modular that fell on us. And really, honestly, there is no way in this world we survived that. Myself, a deacon, and my school administrator. And honestly, there's no way that we come out from under that thing. To this day, I don't know how we survived other than, in my mind, I see God just holding it up. Don't understand it. Don't even try. Every time I think about it, I get, you know, really weird feelings and everything because it was that close. It was that impending that we knew we were going to die. But we didn't die. How do you know? I'm here. And but God protects us. How many tornadoes has he pushed aside? How many hurricanes when we were down south did he push aside? How many times has the fire been lit and he pushed it away or blew it out? How many times has the car been heading right for us and he pushed it aside? I'm just saying, my friend, tonight, understand, you can rejoice over his protection. I mean, all of us here can give testimony that we're still alive. Amen. I know. Okay, number 9. I'm trying to convince you. I'm rejoicing tonight because of his provision. His provision. Psalm 63, verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. His provision. Always taking care of us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. Doesn't he do that? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His provision. What an amazing thing when you think about that, how God provides for us. You know, here we are in this bad economy. Here we are with all these problems and all these things that are going on. And I talk to people and, oh, you know, it's just bad and the forecast looks worse. And God just keeps providing. He just keeps taking care of us. He just keeps meeting every need. And we all look like we're eating well. Amen. Amen. My God shall supply all your need. That's a promise from God. And he has a way of always providing. Wait a minute. Listen, I'm rejoicing tonight. What's it say in verse 10? According as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. I ask you tonight, how's he blessed you? Do you have that same salvation I'm talking about? Tell your face. Amen? I mean, do you have the portion? Do you have the pardon that I'm talking about? Do you understand tonight? You're not guilty if you're saved. You understand tonight? You'll never answer the charges for your sin because he took it when he died on the cross. Tonight, you have to get a hold of that thing. I want you to just remember. Remember how he took care of you when you were down. Remember how he provided. Remember how he protected you when you were in danger. Remember all the things that we've talked about. Remember that you're a son. Remember you have the honor of being a servant. Remember the portion that he's given us. We're heirs to all that he has, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How about his presence? How many times has he put his arms around you when you felt like you were all alone, but you weren't alone? And there he was. I'm just saying tonight, you can rejoice too. It's just a matter of remembering. It's just a matter of responding to what you remember. And it's a matter of just rejoicing. God, I just want to praise you tonight. I'm not talking about running around the building. I'm not talking about swinging from the chandeliers. I'm not talking about any of those kind of things. I didn't say you have to roll in the aisles, foam at the mouth, or anything. I'd just like your heart to go, whoop, just a little bit. Because I want you to rejoice. Because I'm rejoicing tonight. It beats being miserable. I'll tell you, Brother Nixon convinced me. He totally convinced me last Sunday morning that I don't want to be miserable, ever. I don't ever want to be miserable. And he described it so well, I just kind of sat up there and I thought, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't ever want that face to get down like that. You know, I want to be happy. Amen? I want to rejoice. And so this is how you do it. God said, look, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to call you aside to a feast. And I want you to come to that feast, and there's going to be fried chicken. Amen? There's going to be pork. No, there's not. Not pork chops. My feast, there would be pork chops. There wouldn't be there at their feast. There's going to be all kinds of food. There's going to be chocolate pie, fried taters and onions. I mean, it's going to be a feast. And you're going to be able to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. But he said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember all that I've done for you. I want you to remember I took you out of Egypt. You were bondmen in Egypt. You were slaves. Huh? Verse 12, thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Thou should observe and do these statutes. God said, now I got to tell you to do it. I'm telling you, here's how you do it. But if you do it, your heart might go, whoo, amen. You know, you might actually smile. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see there is hope. You know where the hope is? It's here. This is where the hope is, right here. Now, not just Berean Baptist Church, but we've got it here. We're saved, aren't we? Amen. I'm trying to convince you. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm rejoicing tonight. I'm rejoicing according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, and he's given me a good dose. Amen. I'm rejoicing tonight because of number 10, his power. His power. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 28, verse 8, the Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Amen. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Watch this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. His power. Where's it come from? The joy of the Lord. Remember Vacation Bible School and we had pot pie here? Remember? And if you watch cartoons, they're never as good as Vacation Bible School. But if you watch cartoons, there's a character called Popeye. Well, we had pot pie. And pot pie is a whole lot better than Popeye. But anyway, you remember the story. Remember how it went? Whenever he ate spinach, he did unbelievable things. Remember when the church was under the ocean? Oh, it was tough. We sprung a leak. How many of you remember that? I'll tell you what, it was a scary time for everyone in here. Of course, I was busy doing other things. But anyway, we sprung a leak and water was coming in. And what happened? Pot Pie ate some spinach and, oh, he got some strength, huh? And he lifted that church up out of the ocean and flung us back right here to this spot. Boy, that was a blessing. I'll tell you what, everybody said, whew. There were some adults wondering how the church sprung a leak. Whew. Got after the deacon and said, fix those windows. We can't have leaks coming in here from the ocean. You know, people say, well, I'm just having a hard time. I'm feeling weak and I'm just not excited about things anymore. And I just think I'm going to give in to some sin, some temptation. Yeah, Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You don't need a shot of spinach. You need a shot of joy. I mean, literally, you need injected with joy, because the joy of the Lord. It's just like that spinach was to pot pie. You know, I mean, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what it says in Nehemiah. Do you understand? Those who are miserable are weak. They're weak. You're miserable tonight. I'm telling you, that's why you can't get off the internet problem you have. You're miserable tonight. That's why you can't get away from gossip, because you're weak, because you're miserable, because you don't have joy, because joy of the Lord is your strength. Those who are miserable are weak, and they easily give in to sin, and then sin makes you more miserable, and then that misery leads to more sin. Do you understand the vicious circle? Please get it here. It's a vicious circle. Because again, sin makes you miserable, misery leads to sin, then sin makes you miserable, and then misery leads to sin, and you know what you need? You just need a good old-fashioned dose of joy. Amen. That's what you need. One thing I remember I remember a lot of things as an unsaved person going to Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, where my wife her family forced me by gun. But made me go to church there, and I sat right there. And one thing I remember they would often start off the service, or somewhere during the service, they would sing this very strange song. And it was funny, because I'm you know, the long-haired hippie, lost, don't care about things of God, did care about the girl. Amen. And so I sat and I endured this thing. But I kept watching these people, and they're singing this song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And some of the people, while they're singing it, they're going like this, you know. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thought, oh, that's cute. Then they got into the second part. He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm looking around. These people are going, ha, 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 ha. He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my heart with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm thinking, this is really different. Then they got to that third verse. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm looking around. And even grouchy people were laughing. Ha, 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 ha. How many of you know that song? Isn't that exciting? It just really is. And you look around, and all of a sudden, folks are smiling. And I thought, you know, as an unsaved person, which I was at that time, you know, that is what Christianity should be about. Amen. Folks ought to be happy. They ought to rejoice. And you know what? When you're rejoicing, you're stronger. That's why my prayers, we walk out of here, we're rejoicing, you know? Rejoicing. You know why? Because the devil's out there waiting on you. I mean, he's as a roaring lion, he's trying to destroy you. And you get that joy of the Lord. It's his power. His power. The strength that you and I have. How can I resist the devil? Get the joy of the Lord in your life. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power. Power. I'm rejoicing today because of that power. It's amazing power. There's people all over. They go on the internet and they look up occult things. They look how to cast spells on people. You know, and the devil has a little power. He has some power. There's no doubt about that. God allows him to be the prince of the power of the air. God lets him have just a little bit of room around here. And every now and then, God lets him do some little amazing thing, some little cute thing, you know. People say, oh, wow, you know. And people do the Ouija board. God lets the devil do his thing, lets a few demons guide some hands and do some things. Well, that's all real. I don't doubt that. Hello. You know, and some people, they'll get down there and they'll say, oh, watch this. Ask it a question. If you could see the hands moving your hands, you might not be so excited about that. Dummies. Right? And, okay, pardon me, but whoop-de-doo. Right? So what? the demon knows something. Big deal. They don't know a whole lot. They're going to hell. I'm just saying, so what? Oh, the candle blew out. Okay. So God allows the devil to blow out a candle. Big deal. Oh, yeah, but we levitated somebody. Okay. So, by the way, if you're the one being levitated, you would really not be excited to see the hands under you lifting you up, if you could see them. Amen. It wouldn't be so appealing then. Are you listening to me? Oh, you know, this person, they spoke like this. I hate you. Okay. Oh, wow. And we get so intrigued by all that stuff. We just think that stuff. And so God says to the devil, he says, I'm going to give you a little room. Who defeats the devil? I'm working on a message about God bruising Satan. Bruise. Amen. Right? Glory to God. And the devil roars and we get all intrigued. So kids everywhere, they look up a cult. I don't understand some of you why you would ever do anything like that. Why? What would be the big deal? Oh, but I want to see things move. We were dealing with a demon-possessed person one time, and this person said that the spirit of poltergeist was going to come after us. And we were there praying and begging God, and all of a sudden stuff in the room started to move. You say, wow, that's really something. Do you understand? God parted the Red Sea. Okay, so the chandelier starts to swing. Who cares? Big deal. Amen? Are y'all listening to me? Yeah, but I think that's really neat. No, you are intrigued by the sin of it all. What you need to do is understand the power. God has the power. God has the power, and it's available to me. I'm going to rejoice over it. I'm not going to be looking for anything else. I'm not looking for any other kind of power. I don't need a crystal ball. I don't need somebody to tell me that I have lines in my hand. I don't need somebody to pull out a bunch of cards and tell me, here's this one, that means this, and all that kind of stuff. I don't need all that stuff. I have God. He is the power. Amen. Luke 10:17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Amen. Oh, yeah, the spirit of poltergeist and the little things moving and all that kind of stuff. Do you understand that all we had to say, in the blood of Jesus Christ, I command thee, and all of a sudden you would not believe what you would hear. Yeah, you ever hear the story about the demons going into the piggies? It's what it sounds like. Some of you say, oh, wow, I think that's really neat. Nothing neat about it, but I'm going to tell you something. He's powerful. And that power is available to you and I. It's not a power that we're going to make things move. 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 I can't make people move, let alone chandeliers. Amen. I'm just saying the power of God. Oh, listen to me. It's available to you and I. We ought to rejoice over that. Some kid, you know, and you'll hear it all the time. Oh, you know, I made a little voodoo doll. And all that stuff, you know, God allows some of these things to happen. And I made that voodoo doll. And I found somebody I didn't like. And I got one of their hairs. And you could get a whole lot of mine years ago. Just get in that trap. But anyway, and I made this thing look just like them. And I poked them in the back with a pin. And they went, oh. Yeah, they've been having problems ever since. They say they're normal, but they're not. Because I did this. You understand? So, his power, you cannot and I cannot. Do you understand? He spoke and everything was. The solar flare that people got kind of bent out of shape over, oh, we're in trouble, solar flare. I'll tell you what, if it was a solar burst and it hit us, we'd be in real trouble. We'd be in heaven. But you know, everybody gets all bent out of, you understand, that's nothing. God might have just gone, dink, to the sun. Huh? Oh, glory to God. You can tell I really want to get into this. I'm rejoicing today because of his power. I'm rejoicing today because of his people. Oh, what a blessing. It's an amazing thing, really. I've been a pastor a long time. His people, it's amazing. Just amazing. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 14, as also ye have acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing. You hear it? We are your rejoicing. Even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. We're each other's rejoicing. We can rejoice over one another. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 4, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Your care, caring for one another, his people, we can rejoice in that. There is rejoicing. John 4, verse 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Boy, it's exciting to sow and to reap, to sow and to reap. And what a blessing, you can rejoice together. But watch this, John chapter 15, verses 11, 12, 13. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And we love that verse, and I love that verse, and I quote that verse all the time. But watch what the next verse says that this all seems to point to. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He said, I want my joy to remain in you. Now, here's how it's going to do it. Love like I love. That's it. You love one another as I have loved you. And just because we're not real smart, he goes ahead and nails the thing down. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, there's nothing like it in all the world. When we, and again, I understand. I just talked about this, talking about the flesh, dying to ourselves. I'm not going to spend time on it. I just, his people. What a blessing it is to be able to do for his people, to love his people, to rejoice in his people. It is an amazing, amazing thing. I marvel and have marveled at the church ever since the first day that I went to church. And I watched, how in the world can that really work? Do you understand all the different thinking, different background, different belief, different income levels, different everything? I mean, we're just all so different, and yet we can come together as God's children, and we can do something for him. It's just absolutely amazing. I rejoice over his people. I rejoice over, number 12, my potential. It's amazing to me. John 16, 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Do you understand? Your potential is you can rejoice every day. You and I, we don't have to be grumpy. Oh, Monday's coming. But it doesn't have to be a bad day. You can rejoice on Monday, and you can rejoice on Tuesday, and you can rejoice every day. The truth of the matter is, no man takes your joy from you. You give your joy. And if you're miserable today, it's because you chose misery. You really did. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Just that verse alone, you know, that's my life verse. And I would challenge you to memorize that verse, know that verse, and go to that verse often. Because you want to have rejoicing ground, amen, that's a good verse right there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The world says you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, I'm just saying that your potential, it's unbelievable. And you can rejoice over that. I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing because I'm rejoicing according as the Lord thy God hath blessed me. I'm rejoicing because God tells me I need to rejoice. He said, remember, respond, rejoice. I'm rejoicing, number 13, over my production. Production. Deuteronomy 12, verse 7. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto. Ye and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. But notice he said, I've blessed you, but he said, you've worked for it. Amen. You can rejoice because you can work. You can rejoice because you have worked. You can rejoice because God gave you the ability to work, and God gave you the job so you could work. Your production is something you can rejoice about. I hate my job. Okay, rejoice that you have a job you can hate. Everything negative, I promise you, get around me and I'll turn it around on you. Amen. I'm telling you, you listen to me. You say, yeah, but it's a terrible place. The environment's bad. Everything's no good. And people are cussing and swearing. Listen to me. Listen to me. You have worked. You've done what God said you need to do. And it may be that you're the light in that place. I don't know. But you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice. There's food on your table. You need to rejoice. You were able to work to put that food on the table. You need to rejoice over your production. Philippians 2, verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh, listen to me. Have you done anything for God? Then it's not in vain. Rejoice. Well, you know, I worked in the nursery. Praise God you worked in the nursery. Well, you know, my Sunday school class, it's just a small group. And do you understand that one's important to God? He left the 99 to go after the one. I don't care how big it is. Did you labor in vain? Rejoice then. Rejoice. Rejoice over your bus route. It may not be big. I don't care. Who cares? Rejoice over it. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. There's stuff, you know, be busy for God. We're made to be busy. Yeah, the miserable people are people that are not busy for God. They may be going through some motions, but they're not busy for God. They're not in tune with doing something for God. That's how we're made. We're made to do something for God. Be very, very busy. I'm rejoicing over my production. I'm rejoicing over the product. Oh, glory to God. Proverbs 23, verse 24 says this, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Amen. Amen. The product, you know, your children. Rejoice. Rejoice over them. The only reason that you would not rejoice over your children tonight is because you're miserable. Boy, you ought to come into men's prayer time and just listen to those kids sing upstairs. It's such a blessing to me. It really is. The young people's choir that Mary's working with, they come up here and they're teaching us about where songs came from. And boy, what a blessing that is. And watch them all excited and ready to go. You know, there's rejoicing ground right there. That's the product. Amen. That's the product. Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the product of what we do here. His soul saved. It's people getting saved and their lives being changed. It's what Larry's saying about. It's a miracle when somebody gets saved. It's a miracle every time somebody gets saved. And yet, boy, sometimes, you know, you read, and well, we went to the prison, and five people trusted Christ as Savior. Ugh. Yeah, that's the product, folks. It's the product. People getting saved. The product, these little children, that's the product. 2 John 1, verse 4, I rejoice greatly, and I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? To find thy children walking in truth. For I rejoiced greatly, 3 John 1, verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Somebody you led to Christ and they're still walking in the truth. Somebody you talked to years ago. Somebody that you went to, you witnessed to, you sowed, you watered, you reaped, you saw them saved, you saw them baptized. They went off and they've been gone for a while, and you saw them again and they came and they said, oh, I'm in this church and I'm serving God and I'm busy in that church. That's rejoicing material there. Look around. Look around. I mean, some of you folks have been here for years and years and years, and the product, it's all over the place. The product. 3 John 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Some parents feel threatened by their children when they're walking in truth. They feel threatened by somebody being more spiritual than they are. Pity your poor, miserable soul. I'll tell you, you ought to be rejoicing, because I'll tell you, it should be what you want. It should be what we want. We want these young people to be on fire for God. We don't. Hey, you say, well, they sometimes they embarrass me because, you know, they're more spiritual. Hey, then you be more spiritual. Amen. Amen. Get on the altar. Glory to God. That's what we want. The school was started years ago so young people would grow up and serve God. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's for young people to get excited about doing something for God. It sickens me, and it breaks my heart when I hear people talking so much about, we need to get them all excited about making lots of money. It never was about that. It's all about whatever God wants. God controls the money. I'd love it if some folks would make lots of money and tithe. Amen. That'll be great. That'll be wonderful. But more than anything else, it's just doing whatever God wants you to do. Amen. And the no greater joy than to hear that my children have a large bank account. That's not what it says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children have a good job. That's not what it says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my child graduated with an accredited degree. Who cares? That isn't what it says either. How about that they walk in truth? That's more important than anything, I would say, that they walk in truth. Truth, amen? That's the word of God right here, right here. I got news for you. The public schools don't teach this. Amen. They don't teach it. Truth. That's what it's all about. I'm going to just keep standing on the truth. Why? Because I can rejoice about that. I can rejoice about the product that comes as a result of the truth being preached. Amen. I'm going to amen myself. I don't have the energy. I used to run down and I'd amen myself and come back and forth, but I don't have the energy to do that anymore. I'm too old. But I'm going to rejoice anyway. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2, 20, it says, for ye are our glory and joy. Hey, how can you keep rejoicing, preacher? Because a long time ago I died to myself. You know, I died to myself. Well, don't you know there's, you know, folks talk about you. I don't care because dead don't hear. Amen. And if dead could hear, they don't care. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I'm going to just keep rejoicing because of number 15. I'm rejoicing because of positive things. Now, I'm not talking about Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale, think positive. No, I'm talking about just all the positive things. Deuteronomy 26:11 says, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's in the Bible. If there was nothing else, if I had a pup tent, and that's all we lived in is a pup tent, you know, and I was eating cans of beans. All I'd have to do is just look over in my pup tent next to me in her sleeping bag, and I just have to see my wife, and I can rejoice over that. I can rejoice over her. I can rejoice because every good thing which God's given me, every good thing, there's so many good things. It's not just my wife. He's given me so many good things. How about you? What's he given you? Take an inventory sometime. All the things God's given to you. I mean, all the things that God's given, the positive. See, here's what we do. We start looking at all the negative things going on around us, and we lose sight of all the good things that God's given. Look at the little child next to you. Look around. Look at the ministry that you have. Look what God has given to you. Positive things. Luke 13, verse 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Remember what he said in the feast? He said, remember. 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 All the glorious things that were done by him. What's he done for you? See, a lot of times it goes back for me, it goes back to the Bible college days, and we had no food. And we look around, and there's no food in the cabinet. And we had been eating, we got some free little muffin things. And my wife got tomato sauce. And she spread that on those muffin things and put them in the microwave, and that was pizza. But we ran out of pizza. We didn't have any of those things. And I'll never forget the day. And we said, God, we got to have food. And by the way, we could have gone a few days back then. Amen. We all can. But God, please, you got to provide. And knock on the door. Now, see, you got to understand, I can rejoice over that. Now, you may not care. I care because there were Wheaties in that bag. I care because there were Chips Ahoy cookies in that bag. I mean, God didn't just provide my needs. God said, that guy likes Wheaties. He said, Gabriel, get some Wheaties. And Michael, go get some Chips Ahoy cookies. Make sure they're the real thing. That was back then. And those were in my bag, you know. And I rejoice over that because that's good stuff. Amen. So if there's a lot of negative, and I get it every now and then, there's a lot of bad stuff, and I hear it every once in a while, I'm going to think about those things. I'm going to remember, and I'm going to respond, and I'm going to rejoice. Psalm 30, verse 5, his anger endureth but a moment. You ever had him angry at you? Yeah. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, glory to God. Don't you love it sometimes? I mean, you don't know if the sun is going to come up, but it does. Amen. And isn't it amazing what a day, a night, what a difference it can make? That's because of God. Whew. Positive things. Proverbs 15, verse 30, watch this. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, this positive, you say, well, I wish I could think like the preacher did. I wish I could think positive. You can if you'll stay away from negative. Honestly, you do. You have to stay away from. Now I'm a pastor. I hear, you know, people come in and they unload sometimes. They really do, and a lot of times it's bad stuff, and it's negative, but it's always stuff that is about them where we can turn it around and try to make it positive. I've counseled so many of you, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but the truth of the matter is, I'm very positive, always very positive, and I don't see the glass half empty. I see the glass half full, but that's how I live, and I don't listen to negative. Why? Because the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. And if you want to gossip about somebody, I don't want to hear it. Do not want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If you want to gossip about people that don't like me, I don't want to hear it. Number one, I don't want to hear that they don't like me. Number two, I don't want to hear anything bad about them. Amen. Positive things. I'm rejoicing tonight. How about you? I'm not rejoicing because I'm running out of time. If you knew where I was in my outline, you wouldn't be rejoicing either. Now I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to finish this someday. But anyway, positive things. Let me give you one more thing. No, because these two go together. I'll give you two more things. I'm rejoicing tonight real quick because of problems. What? Yeah. I can't help it because the Bible says so. Habakkuk 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, that's bad. Neither shall fruit be in the vines, that's bad. The labor of the olive shall fail, that's not good. The fields shall yield no meat, that doesn't sound good. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, that doesn't sound good. There shall be no herd in the stalls, that means no T-bones, no hamburgers, no roast. That doesn't sound good. But you know what he said in verse 18? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Problems. I'm rejoicing tonight because of problems. Amen. I will rejoice in the Lord. 1 Peter 1 and verses 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Wait a minute, what? The trial of my faith is more precious than gold? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Wow. Though it be tried with fire. Oh, here's the key. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? That means I have to rejoice in my trial because it can bring glory to God. I have to. I have no choice. I have to rejoice in my problem because it might be found, and I want it to be found, unto praise, honor, and glory. You know, pity party doesn't work. Because it only brings glory to one person. Actually, it doesn't bring you glory, it brings pity. Well, at least everybody feels sorry for me. But you know what you could do? You could get everybody to praise him. Isn't that what Job did? I'll be honest with you, I feel bad for Job. Sometimes I read Job. Brother Cree, do you ever read Job and cry? Sometimes I read Job and I cry. I feel so bad for Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I think, wow, he's talking about God. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. By the way, you know why it's not strange? Do you know why it's not? Because we have a God in heaven that knows what's best for us. I just can't believe that happened to me. I've been doing right. I've been serving God. Think it not strange. What's he telling us? He's telling us he's God. He's telling us he's God and he's wanting to receive the glory for what we do. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you understand? Right now, we may weep, but joy will come in the morning. Oh, we may go through tough times, but joy will come. Do you understand? When we get to heaven, we won't weep. God will wipe away all tears, right? And they're gone. And all of a sudden, it's going to be God's glory. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy? Mm-hmm. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's all just part of growth. I rejoice over problems. Are you rejoicing tonight? Can you rejoice? You could if you'd remember. Remember what God's done. Remember. Oh, I know, we can get so far away. Yeah, I often wonder how far David was when he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It seems to have been a year. He committed adultery. He had Uriah murdered. And he went on for about a year, it seems to have been. A year. And in that year, I just wonder, Brother Nixon, how miserable David became. And I'm talking about miserable. Preacher tried to talk to him. Get out of here. I don't want to talk about it. He started missing church, missing things, missing serving God, wasn't reading his Bible, just all kinds of stuff. And he just became miserable. But when he got his heart right, what did he say? He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's just absolutely essential that we rejoice. Tonight I want you to be rejoicing. I want you to walk out of here and rejoice. You say, "Well, I don't particularly like all your illustrations." You know what? I don't like all my illustrations either. To be honest with you, I'm not real thrilled with my flesh, to be real honest with you. But I'll tell you what, I am real thrilled with all the verses of Scripture that I gave you tonight, because it is His Word. And every word that was in there, every verse contained rejoice, joy, rejoicing, rejoices, rejoiced, or something like that. And I'm telling you, folks, walk out of this place rejoicing. You don't have to turn cartwheels. It's okay. Some of you wouldn't recover. Amen. And I'm one. But in your heart, rejoice. Rejoice over these things. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anyone here tonight who'd say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me." Anyone like that? Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. How many would say, "I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but God spoke into my heart about something tonight. Pray for me." Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Father, please bless now the invitation. And Lord, I pray for anyone tonight who is miserable, who just because of sin, because of circumstance, because somebody hurt them, because whatever it might be, God, they've just become miserable. Please, God, touch them like you would touch someone with cancer. Heal them like you would heal someone with a broken arm. And restore the joy. And I pray that we would all leave here with rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God speak in your heart. You come as the instruments play. Fall fresh on me. Oh, that's what we need tonight. Come on, God speak into your heart. according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. When's the last time you just praised God? God, speak in your heart tonight. Come on. Invitation still open if you need to come. Still time. Amen. Look up this way, please. All right, don't forget, we have work scholarship meeting in the teen room. We have a shepherd workers meeting in the fellowship hall right after the service, so don't forget that. Please make sure you are at the meeting you need to be at. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to our hearts tonight, and thank you that there's so much for us to rejoice over. God, I thank you that you are so good, always so good to us. And please forgive us when sometimes we get in a spirit of misery instead of rejoicing. And help us to understand this is a battle as much as an alcoholic, as much as a drug addict, as much as a thief. It's a battle, God, for our testimony. It's a battle for our spirit. God, help us to rejoice, to win the battle and rejoice. And I pray folks will leave here rejoicing in the Lord, and that you will continue to bless as we look at the rest of